17. I'm going to begin reading at verse 45. Would you allow me to pray one more time? Speak, Father, your servants are listening, and we pray that you would anoint all of our ears to hear, eyes to see, and mouths to speak for you. We'll be careful to give you glory, honor, and praise. Hold us in this place and give us the strength to tarry here for as long as you desire. Then release us to go higher in you as a result of what we've obtained during this preaching experience. We give you glory in Jesus' name, and we ask you, radically change our lives. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning at verse 45. This is what the Bible says in the NIV version. Feel free to read with me. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give you the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." 47. "All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." Amen. Amen. I'd like to preach by the Spirit this morning a message simply entitled, "Can You Handle It?" Can you handle it? Speak, Father, your servants are listening. I know in all of our ears to hear, eyes to see, and mouths to speak for you. We'll be careful to give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you handle it? At this portion of this passage of Scripture, a familiar story for many of us. How many are familiar with this story of David and Goliath? You know that David is on the cusp of a great victory. You know that the giant by the name of Goliath has come out before him and challenged David along with the armies of Israel, the armies of the living God. You know that David is a shepherd boy who is called to one day become king. And where we are at this portion of the story in 1 Samuel chapter 17 is towards the end of his first major win or victory. Whenever it is you see someone on the battlefield for God and they are victorious, they've had to go through hell and high water to get there. Come on with it. Can you handle it?
I feel like preaching here.
Many of us can handle the victory.
Lord, have mercy. I feel like preaching it.
But can you and I handle the preparation that is necessary before we get there? I thank God that he is the type of God that will not allow me to walk into battle unequipped, even when I don't want to prepare myself. My God loves me enough, Deacon George, that he will stop you dead in your tracks where you are and hold you there rather than allow you to go on the battlefield and not come back with a victory. You ought to thank God for that. You probably don't like it while God is holding you there, but if you stay where he put you, you'll praise him when you come back with the trophy and the victory in your hands. Can I get a witness? And so my challenge is this morning, can you and can I handle it? What does God want to know if we can handle? Not just handle the win, but can you handle everything that God is going to take you through, my brother or my sister, on your way there? It's important for you to understand that David, who get this major victory in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and who later on becomes king, had to go through some trials and tribulations before he could sit on God's throne. He had to endure isolation. He began his life as a shepherd boy, tending sheep all by himself. David was so isolated that when the prophet Samuel showed up to anoint the next king in his house, his own brothers and father did not even think about him. It's one thing if I'm isolated from the church. It's one thing if I'm isolated from friends. It's one thing if I'm isolated from neighbors. But when my own family seems to forget all about me. Can you imagine the level of isolation that this brother had to endure? And I want to let you know that as God is preparing you, oftentimes you're going to have to endure that type of isolation also. David had to endure loneliness because of that isolation. There was a portion of his story in which he was living in caves on the run, lonely, with just a few brothers by his side. Armies were literally patrolling the area, coming after him, and David was all by himself. I know that David knew what it was like to be by himself, because when he writes the 23rd Psalm, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. David is a man who knew what it was like to be lonely and be all by himself. That's why he knew how to depend on his God. I want to pause right here and let somebody know who's complaining about the loneliness and the isolation that you're beginning to incur because of your walk. You don't understand that the only way that you can ever get to a place of dependency is to first be reduced to being all by yourself. I can't fully become dependent on my God until I learn how to be in a place in my life where nobody else is around me, where I have nobody else's cheek to cry on, where nobody can give me a kiss to pick me up, but somehow the Holy Ghost on the inside reaches down from glory and picks me up. That's when I become shaped and molded and dependent on my God. I dare somebody up in this house who can say to yourself, yes, I was lonely then, but I'm God dependent now, and I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm He has to endure isolation. Can you handle it? He has to endure loneliness. Can you handle it? He has to endure frustration. He goes back and forth under the service of a crazy man by the name of Saul. If you know the story, one minute Saul wants him, the next minute he's trying to take his life. Imagine working for a boss like that. I'm sorry, I know some of us do. I hate to be on that type of a job where one day you're in good graces, the next day they trying to fire you. One day they want you in their life, the next day they want you out of their life. One day they happy to be married, the next day they trying to get a divorce. I can't imagine what that's like, but I want you to know David knew, because he went back and forth in the presence of a man who was a lunatic and crazy. And one minute he was trying to bring David in, the next minute he was trying to, that's frustrating. And then he has to endure devastation. David has the privilege of having a front row seat to his best friend's murder. What was even worse about it, his best friend Jonathan was murdered by Jonathan's own father by the name of Saul. And it happened right there in front of David. Imagine a man who has to endure isolation. Imagine a man, Lord have mercy, who has to endure loneliness. Imagine a man who has to endure frustration. Imagine a man who has to endure devastation, and now you can begin to see what God requires of his kings. Woo! Jesus. See, everybody thinks that what it takes to be a king for the Lord is to walk in a nice little way and to dress in a nice little suit. I want to let you know God's going to take you through something if you want to be mightily used by him. And the question that God is asking us on this morning is, can you handle it? While God is taking you through these things, he is working on your heart. He is making you get to a place where he can say about you what he can say about David in the book of Acts, that David is a man after my own heart. And if you don't allow him to work on you now, you won't be ready later. While each of our stories are different, and none of us may have a story that's exactly like that of David, I want to take you back to 1 Samuel chapter 16 at this point and walk you through elements of the story that I know you and I are called to encounter because they are what the Lord has spoken to me about on today. One of the things that if you're going to be used by God to be elevated at some point of your life, you're going to have to be able to handle is being able to stay where you are, knowing that you're called to go higher. Lord have mercy. Oh, Lord, you're going to have to be willing to handle being where you are, knowing that you are anointed to do more than you could have ever thought possible. You're going to have to be able to handle staying in the muck and the quagmire, knowing that God has called you to be king. You're going to have to be able to handle being a lowly shepherd, knowing that your true and rightful place is on the throne. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 16, beginning at verse 13, that Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the presence of his brothers. At this very moment, God, through Samuel, has anointed David as king. You need to understand that at that very moment, and that the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Then the Bible says that Samuel then went to Ramah, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit tormented him. Saul's attendants therefore said to him, "An evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord command his servants to search for someone who can play the lyre, who can play when the evil spirit from God comes on you, and you will feel better." Verse 17 says, Saul said to his attendants, "Find someone who plays well and bring him to me." And one of the servants said, "I've seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem." He's talking about David, the very same David, church, who has just been anointed to be king. But this is what I want you to see. Even though David has been anointed to be king, he does not run and jump up on the throne and grab a crown and place it on his own head. He does not depart from his family and go to the place where God has anointed him to sit one day, because he has not been called to sit there yet. Instead, David does something that many of us would not do. The Bible says in verse 18 that one of the servants said, "I've seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the lyre. He's a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is fine looking, and the Lord is with him." And look where they have to go to find King David. The Lord have mercy. Verse 19 says that Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is what? With the sheep." This must be a misprint, because all the way back up in verse 13, six verses ago, anointing oil was poured on his head in the presence of his father, in the presence of his brothers, in the presence of the prophet. And instead of running on to the throne room, you're telling me that David went right back out with the sheep? And I want to know this morning, and God wants to know, can you handle it? Can you handle knowing that God has a place for you on which you're going to be elevated and lifted up, and you're going to be seen as high in the eyes of man, but you're not ready for that yet? Can you handle knowing that you have great destiny on your life, but that it's not yet your time to walk into that destiny? Can you handle knowing that God has a place that's reserved just for you? My God, could you handle knowing that one day God is going to give you a job where you're going to make three times what you're making right now, but you need to stay where you are until God takes you there? Some of us would have quit as soon as we saw the prophet walk in the house. We don't even need him to pour no oil on me. You come to tell me that brighter days are coming and that one day I'm not going to be where I am right now? Some of us would have walked away instantly, and that's why I thank God for a man like David and a woman somewhere like David who can say, "You know what? I
can handle that, God. What can you handle, my brother? What can you handle, my sister? Knowing that I'm called, knowing that I'm anointed, knowing that I'm great, knowing that I've got destiny, knowing that I'm going somewhere, knowing that God is going to use me, knowing that God is going to elevate me, knowing that God is going to bless me, knowing that God is going to lift me up, knowing that God is going to bring me out, and still being content to do the job that I'm on assignment for right here and right now. You need to tell somebody next to you, stay on your assignment, baby. Stay on your assignment. Don't get so caught up in where God is taking you that you forget all about what you're supposed to be doing right now.
I feel like preaching in here.
Can you handle knowing that you're called to do greater, but not yet? Bible says that this David, who has been anointed to be king instead of Saul, actually goes into the service, Lord have mercy, of the very man who he's been called to be king in place of. See, before God elevates you, he wants to know if you can handle serving like that. Lord have mercy. See, some of us can never be elevated in the ministries to which we belong or in the roles on which we're sitting. We can never go to the next level because we can't handle serving the person who's already there. All we want to do is criticize our current boss. All we want to do is talk about the person who's in the current position. We don't want to serve. I know I'm preaching up in here. You ain't got to shout at me at all. I know that somebody up in here knows exactly what we're talking about this morning by the Spirit. That some of us, all we do is criticize the leader. We don't serve the leader. We never ask the question, what could I do to help you do your job better? But when we get to the leadership position, that's exactly what we're going to want somebody to do for us. But how many know God wants to know before he puts you in a position, Lord have mercy, where people are going to be available to serve you, if you can handle serving somebody else? And God told me to tell you this morning that God does not just want you to serve now so that you can handle being served later, Lord have mercy, but instead God wants to ground you in service in such a way that even when you get to the top, you don't stop serving. All you see your elevation as is an opportunity to serve him better. See, some of us who have never been serving ourselves, when we get to the place that God is destining us for, once we get there, we're going to start looking down on the people who, Lord have mercy, were doing the very same thing that we were doing just a few weeks ago. And now you got a little badge on your chest. And now you got a little appointment, a little title behind your name. And now you got your little three letters because you went to school and paid for your degree, and you think that you better than? Have mercy. My God, have mercy. Are you out of your loving mind? I thank the Lord for a brother like David who can say, you know what? I'm called to replace Saul, but God, until you take me there, I'm going to serve, because the best way for me to learn how to do my job better is to serve him now, because the best way for me to learn how to stay as humble as possible is to serve him now, because the best way for me to remain grounded is to serve him now, because if I can serve him now, I can serve you later. Can you handle serving? Can you handle it? 1 Samuel 16, Bible says Jesse took a donkey in verse 20, loaded it with bread, a skin of wine, a young goat, and sent them with the coming king named David. Lord have mercy. This brother is serving as a servant to his father. David came to Saul and entered his service. He's already been anointed to be king, and he enters the current king's service. Can you handle it? Can you handle serving others? Can you handle groveling for somebody else? Can you handle not getting the recognition that you deserve? Can you handle being on the bottom before you get to the top? Can you handle being looked down upon? Can you handle being forgotten? Can you handle being not thought about? That's what really qualifies you to lead. Some of us are given to every to and fro and every which way once we get to the top. Because once we get to the top, we're serving all those different people instead of serving our God. But if you can be grounded in him now, you can be willing to serve him later. The Bible says that Saul liked David very much. David became one of his armor bearers. And Saul sent word to Jesse saying, allow David to remain in my service. Lord have mercy. And whenever the Spirit of the Lord came on Saul, David would take up his lyre and would play, and Saul would be better. As a matter of fact, in the verses that we read earlier this morning in chapter 17, you need to realize and understand that the only reason that David got to the battlefield was because he was there to serve. Lord have mercy. See, some of us can never get into the place of elevation that God has for us because we think that the way we're supposed to get there is to go up. We don't realize that the way to get there is to go down. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 17 that Jesse said to David, take this ephah of roasted grain, take these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. They're on the front lines battling. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah. They're fighting against the Philistines. And early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd because he was still with the sheep, even though he'd been anointed a whole chapter ago. Loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed, he reached the camp as the army was going out to his battle positions, shouting the war cry. And that's when he saw that there was a giant by the name of Goliath standing there. And that's when he began to ask the question, who is this uncircumcised? He did not go there to be a hero. He did not go there to be seen. He did not go there to get elevated. He went there being obedient to his father. Lord have mercy. How did he get to the place of elevation? He went there being obedient to his father and doing what he had been called to do. He went to the battlefield not to fight on the front lines. The only reason that he went there was to serve. Can I let you know this morning, the reason that God can't take you to where he wants to take you is that your disobedient self refuses to listen to what it is that God has already told you to do. How many times has God told you not to go there and to go somewhere else? How many times has God told you to leave it alone? How many times has God told you to walk away? How many times has God told you to give it up? And you think that God is a fool. You must be the real fool if you think that a God who is as knowledgeable and as wise as ours is going to allow you to be disobedient and still elevate you to your place of destiny. Before you can go up in him, God needs to know, can you just follow my instructions? Can you just do what I tell you to do? Can you handle a simple assignment before I give you a greater one? Because if you can't handle where you are right now, what in the world makes you believe you're going to be able to handle what's coming later? I need somebody who can serve. I need somebody who can say yes. I need somebody who can follow me and do what I say do. That's what matters to my God. Can you handle serving others? Sitting back like, God, elevate me. God, bless me. I want to go higher. But watch this. I don't want to walk up no steps. I don't even want to have to push the button on the elevator. I want one of them little Star Trek teleport. That's called science fiction. Lord have mercy. Baby, that is not real. That is not how it works around here. If you want to get up higher, you're going to have to climb every rung, every ladder, and you're going to have to be able to work to get to the top. And God wants to know before he takes you there, science fiction. That mess is not real. The last thing that David had to demonstrate that he could handle before God gave him one victory over Goliath. He's been through all of this before he gets just one. Jesus. Been through all of this. He wants to know if you can handle standing with him by yourself. He wants to know if you can handle being alone. Oh, God. He wants to know. Yeah, come on, open up. I feel you closing. Open up. He wants to know if you can handle being all by yourself. He wants to know if you can handle being separated from your family. Find that in scripture, Pastor, because that sounds crazy, because I've been told that my family is always going to support me and be around me. Read the word, brother. Read the word, sister. The Bible says that David showed up on the battlefield, Deacon Charlotte, to serve his brothers, and his brothers copped an attitude with him. Lord, have mercy. The only reason he was there was to be a blessing to them. And when he got there, Sister Dawn, he heard Goliath shouting out all that lunacy. Said, who is this maniac that's talking to God's people like this? And instead of his brothers saying, yeah, little bro, you're right. Instead of them saying, thank you for the cheese and thank you for the bread, because you carried this all the way on the donkey. His family.
Like preaching.
His own brothers, when they hear David talking like the king that he is, the Bible says that Eliab, David's older brother, in verse 28 of chapter 17, heard him speaking with the men and burned with anger. But Eliab, you're a member of my family. But Eliab, the only reason I'm here is to be a blessing to you. But Eliab, I'm here on the front lines. I ain't got no shield. I ain't got no helmet. I ain't got no sword. I'm putting myself in danger in order to be a blessing to you. And you gonna turn around and get mad at me? Can you handle it? Bible says he burned with anger. This is David's family. Asked, why have you come down here? What you mean you got breadcrumbs all over your mouth? What you mean? I came down here to feed you. I came down here to deposit something in you. Woo, Jesus. The Bible says he asks the question, with whom did you leave the sheep? Eliab, you ain't never tended the sheep. And now you worry, you ain't never kept the kids. You ain't never been the person on the job. You ain't never, and now all of a sudden you got questions for me? His own family said, how conceited are you? And then on top of his family rejecting him and his family looking down on him, the Bible says just a few verses later in verse 33 that Saul himself, the brother who David has been serving faithfully, said to David, you can't go out against this Philistine. You only a young man. He's been a warrior from his youth. Now, we know that Israel's army is staying out of this because they punks. They just going to let Goliath just talk to God's people any old kind of way. I need to pause right here and tell you right now that I ain't telling you you got to fight nobody physically. But Lord have mercy, you better not challenge me in my spirit, because I'm not going to just sit back and take it. I'll be quiet right here in front of you. But when I get in my war room at home, when I get into my closet, I'm going to throw fire bombs down from glory. I'm going to pray. I just might fast. I'm going to call on the name of God. You can't just talk about about me just any old kind of way, because I know who I am. Not only do I know who I am, I know who my daddy is. And he told me a long time ago, if you need me, just call on my name and I'll be right there to answer. Can I get a witness? Is there anybody here who can say, yeah, I may be calm on the outside, but don't make me fight. Don't make me call my daddy. My daddy's stronger than you. My daddy's wiser than you. My daddy's bigger than you. My daddy's able. So Saul, watch this. Saul doubts him. His family doubts him. And David says, you know what? That's okay. I'm going to go out there all by myself. I got to preach this one last thing. The question that you have is why does God want me all by myself, man? This joint is filled with so much fire, I can't touch it. He says to tell you this morning that, like David, the reason that he has to get you comfortable being by yourself and being lonely is that he has a place just for you. Okay, you missed it. You missed it. You missed it. Okay, he told me to tell somebody, bro, the reason that he wants you to be comfortable being alone is that he has a place just for you. Oh, you don't see it yet. See, the reason that he wants you to be comfortable by yourself is that he has a destiny just for you. Somebody, I see you getting it slowly but surely. The reason that he wants you to be able to pray by yourself and be okay is that he has a calling just for you. Oh, okay. The reason that he wants you to be comfortable with nobody on your road liking your praise and okay with your shout is that he has a calling, a destiny, and an anointing just for you. See, now you're beginning to see it, because the catch here is it's just for you. Lord have mercy. See, the reason that you have to be comfortable by yourself is that what God has for you ain't for nobody else but you. Oh, God. And if I'm not careful, I'll get to the top and try to invite somebody else to come in and sit in a seat that God has just for me. But how many know one day all of us are going to have to stand all by ourselves and give an account for everything we've done while in this body? And my God is going to say, well done, my good and faithful, servant. No S, servant. No S, servant. No S, servant. No S. And I want to hear, well done, my servant. No S. I want to hear, come on home, servant. No S. I want to hear, you are blessed. You are highly favored in me. You are mine. You're my child. You're my son. And I love you. servant. No S. servant. No S. You ought to turn to your neighbor and tell them, baby, that's me. That's why sometimes I gotta praise them by myself. That's why sometimes I gotta cry all by myself. That's why sometimes I gotta call on his name with nobody else around me, because I am an servant. Somebody give him a prayer. praise. Somebody shout glory. Somebody shout thank you. Somebody shout praise. Be to my God. He's good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth. But before he lets you hear it, he wants to know, can you handle it? Doors of the church are open on today. Would you stand to your feet all over this holy sanctuary, giving praises unto our God? Come on, you can do better than that. I say giving praises unto my God, giving praises unto our God. I want you to hear it clearly, because it's easy for someone to take the message and get it misconstrued. God is not saying that when you get to heaven, you're going to be up there all by yourself. But God has made it clear in his word, before you get into heaven, you're going to have to stand all by yourself. Oh, God, can I preach to you even right now? And let you know, no one can give your life to the Lord but you. Hallelujah. No one can decide to live right for you but you. Nobody is going to be able to sit high in the place of elevation that God has for you but you. Because even though we love our family and love our loved ones, we love our children. I have a son. We love our spouses. I'm blessed with a beautiful, awesome wife. We just celebrated our anniversary. I love her to death. But you need to know that I'm not confused. I know I may be able to be her husband. Lord have mercy. Hallelujah. I might even be able to be her pastor with God's help. I might be able to be her friend, but I can never be her savior. And she can never be mine. She has to decide to live right for herself, just like I have to decide to live right for myself. And if we do that together down here, even though we make the decision to do so independently, I believe by faith that one day both of us will hear, "Well done, my good and faithful," servant. Doors of the church are open on today. Is there one? Come on, give them something on today. Some man, some woman, some boy, some girl, are you here on today?